Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 152, recorded on March 7th, 2012. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm just barely with you, though, because I screwed up the schedule again.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't have a lot to talk about, just
no,
a couple little things.
Not much today. Not much happened today.
Nope.
That's lucky.
Uh-huh. Jeff Gamut's also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah. You amped for what we're talking about?
A little amped, a little wired, a little strung out.
I bet your fingers are a little tired from typing things today.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I've been at my desk, except for running out just before we're recording to get my chai. I hit my desk at about 5:15 this morning. And so I guess that means that I was at my desk for a little over 12 hours.
Nice.
And now I'm back again. That tells you how much I love you guys.
Yeah.
and all of our listeners, too.
Everybody.
Listeners, I love every single one of you.
Mm-hmm. So let's get right into it. The Apple introduced several things today. The new Apple TV, of course. As far as we can tell, there really isn't anything externally different about it. I believe it has all the same connectors. I think there are a couple big features that are new. Firstly, there's a new UI.
Yeah, but
okay, so
the rest
first,
of us get that.
Okay, well, okay. 1080p.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll play 1080p, so I'm guessing it probably has the A5, maybe an A5X processor.
Nope.
No.
Not an A5X.
It's an A5 processor.
Okay, yeah, that makes
single
sense.
Single core.
How do
even.
We know yes. this?
Because it says on Apple's tech spec page.
They actually tell us that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's surprising. Okay, how do we get to the Apple TV page?
Yeah, apple.com/Apple TV.
How do we get to it from...
Okay, Michael, what you need to do is turn on your Mac. Once you've turned on your Mac, then you need to launch your web browser.
Okay,
once you've launched
you.
Your web browser, then you type apple.com/Apple TV
right,
and then hit
there.
Return.
Okay.
And all then right. you click on tech specs.
Ah, okay.
That's oh, Michael, was, you're so pretty.
That's not what I was getting at. What I was getting at is that you have to click on the iPod tab and then click on Apple TV in order to get to the Apple TV. I just think that's kind of dumb. But anyway, so it's a single core A5 chip, as you guys just said. Everything else appears to be the same. So,
did they upgrade? No, they did not upgrade the Wi-Fi. That was what I had not checked that yet, because I know that was part of the other thing that we're going to be talking about, I believe.
Okay, so the operating system, Wi-Fi, you said, is not upgraded. What would it have been upgraded to?
I believe that the new iPad has the, which Wi-Fi is that? It's the latest and greatest Wi-Fi standards, right? Am I wrong on that, or am I thinking of the 3G
chipsets? The pre-standard thing.
Mm.
I'm confusing things
no,
already.
You're wrong.
Never mind, ignore me. Yep. Let's talk about the Apple TV.
So we're talking about the Apple TV. So biggest thing, 1080p, new UI, which is definitely different. I'll say that. The current UI certainly can, it has room for improvement for sure. I guess we've yet to see whether this new UI is going to solve some of the silly little problems that we've had.
I played with it a little bit today.
Yeah. Do you download it to your, so it's available for the current Apple TV then?
Yeah. Yes. At least the Apple TV too. I haven't tried on my original Apple TV.
I'm sure it's not available there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's iOS based.
Okay.
Correct.
So you can get that on your Apple TV too. What did you think?
Really, the only the most major change is the home screen, basically. Mm-hmm. The start screen, because now you have all these little, I don't know if you call them pills or little tablets that are the different services.
The little gems or whatever.
Yeah. What are we going to call those? We need a name for those. Little tiles.
Tiles, sure.
Tiles. That sounds better than globules.
So each service has its little tile. It's nice because when you're now inside one of the services, I noticed the sort of menu slides down from the top, like the different tabbed sections within that category. So all the categories on the home screen are now on those little tiles, and you select whichever one. So if it's computer or music or iTunes or computer, music, movies, you know, whatever, the generic top level categories. And then once you're in there, then you get the kind of top level menu. The one thing I noticed, like with movie things and information almost immediately, is it's much more readable because things are larger. And I think they even mentioned that in the keynote, that the album, not album art, but the movie posters are larger. And not only that, when you go in and you're looking at like the extra movie information, it seems like things are a little bit bigger, which I think helps when you're across the room, you know, with a big TV.
Yeah.
Trying to read that tiny type sometimes.
Well, that and the fact that, and it looks like they've improved the submenus too. So if you go into movies, it's a little bit more obvious how things are arranged. And I think one of the biggest issues with the menuing system as it was yesterday is that things were broken down into several categories, and that was fine. However, it sometimes was a little bit confusing as to where you would find certain things. So you want to go to Netflix and you think, okay, movies, wait, no, that's not what I want. Internet. Okay. And so now it's a little bit more apparent where
now it's
things
like front,
are.
All the services are front and center. Each one gets its own little tile and you just dive in from there.
Yeah. I think that'll be much nicer.
There's a little bit of that kind of cross population that Apple is doing more and more of that is starting to irk me a little bit, where you have multiple features that are accessed from two different kinds of paths. And I think that gets a little bit confusing. Here it almost makes sense, though, because a common complaint that, say, like my wife has had about the Apple TV is the whole home sharing thing and not knowing, like, if I want to get to our shared movies, do I go to movies? Do I go to computers?
Right.
Where do I go?
Yeah, that's a big confusion thing. Essentially, in my house, it's known that there's nothing under movies. Don't even just ignore that one because we don't do that.
I think that's changed now, though, because I think you can get to all your shared movies through movies, but you can also get to it through computer. So
what?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I don't like the fact that Apple puts things in kind of two places now.
That's so Windows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm looking. Are you sure about that? Because
I don't know. I just did it briefly. I can turn my... Oh, I unplugged my Apple TV because I'm taking it to my meeting tonight. Is it not the case? If you go into movies,
I haven't updated.
I
haven't updated, so I don't know.
I thought it was up there at the top because I thought it said you go into movies and then it shows your movies. And I think, like I said, you get a drop-down, like sort of main menu that's the different sections within movies. And I'm pretty sure shared or computers was one of those tabs.
I'm not seeing that. I see purchased top movies, genius genres, search trailers. So you may, I don't know.
I thought my pre-purchased, like,
well, whatever
stuff was showing up there anyway.
So there's iCloud for movies now. You can rewatch, you can stream previously purchased movies right over your Apple TV whenever you want.
Can I defend myself and say, you know, this has been out for just a couple hours.
I don't think anybody blames you.
Tons of stuff to look at. Okay.
I don't think anybody blames you. Yeah, it's 7 p.m. Central Time here. So I basically finished the keynote an hour ago, although I was following along a little bit with the quote unquote live coverage.
Yeah. The problem is Apple's gotten this habit of like releasing 80 bazillion million things all on the same day.
Holy crap. They do that. It's because they hate me. I'm certain of it.
My head hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't finish writing one thing before there were three more articles lined up.
So it's going to be available March 16th.
Correct.
And a couple more tweaks to, like, Netflix, for example. I think you can sign up and do your billing for Netflix.
Yes, you can
through
do your Netflix billing now.
With your iTunes account?
Yeah, you can pay for Netflix with your iTunes account.
Cool. I wonder if there's the thing that I've been wanting on my Apple TV is getting access to my YouTube queue, my watch later queue, because that's a great feature on YouTube. Click in watch later, because I would love to just say watch later and then go over to my TV. but who knows?
I don't know if it's related to the Apple TV, and we might get it later, but I thought I saw somebody post that Genius playlists are now synced through iTunes Match.
I thought they... Oh, yeah. That is true. Yeah. That's new. So, new iPad. Ta-da!
Well, did we finish? So, bottom line on the Apple TV, and I just want to bring this up because I was going to upgrade. I was going to buy it when I bought my iPad 3. Uh-huh. And then I realized that, well, one, I don't have a 1080p television. And beyond it supporting 1080p, I don't think anything else is different from the Apple TV 2, right?
Well,
unless
I
missed something.
Well, it has the faster processor.
Well, yeah.
Which is nice for UI, but the UI is not that bad already. Now,
What'd you say?
The UI is not that bad already. It's not slow like it was with the original Apple TV. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. But I just want to be clear for everybody that if you have an Apple TV 2 and you upgrade the software today, the only thing you're missing by not having the Apple TV 3 is the 1080p and, of course, the faster processor. But I don't know that that brings anything other than 1080p support, at least at the moment.
Right. Now, the question I have is, because I can play 1080p content on my Apple TV right now, no problem.
Yeah, jailbroken, right?
No, I don't do that. I have it in my iTunes library, and I stream it over, and it works just fine. But I don't have a 1080p set. I have a 720p set.
How do you know it's playing 1080p then?
It's 1080p content. I don't know what...
Okay, but it's not 1080p resolution. That's the deal, though.
That's the thing.
So now is that why my frame rate's a little skippy? Seems like the frame rate's a little bit low.
No, that's probably more because you're streaming over your network and if you're doing it over Wi-Fi.
No, it seems like the frame rate's low. Skippy isn't the right term. It seems like a slightly lowered frame rate, and I'm guessing that's because it's 1080p content. And if anybody out there knows, you know, let us know. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. It'd be great if...
I get what you're saying. It's 1080p that. Original stuff being downsampled.
Something, yeah.
Downsampled on the fly down to 720.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not sure.
That's just the thing. But I mean, now it'll truly play 1080p.
Yeah,
1080p.
Yep.
So if you're all about the 1080p, then that's I guess the thing you want to get. And they were kind of glossed over the content side of that. I guess there's going to be 1080p content now
Yeah, 1080p content and the movies that are available in 1080p. If you purchase 720p versions, you'll be able to re-download the higher resolution versions.
Oh, so they're going back like they did with iTunes Music and resampling the old stuff. Nice.
That's good.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we have to move on because you're not here with us that long, Adam.
Yep, I'm not.
New iPad. They're calling it resolutionary.
clever.
And they're also calling it the new iPad. I don't think they're calling it the iPad 3.
No.
Okay,
no,
they're not. Now, here's the thing that I'm finding interesting about the whole naming thing. Apple's calling it iPad. And on Twitter today, I saw so many people freaking out. And, you know, they're saying, oh, my God, how are we going to know the difference between this iPad and the last iPad and the next iPad? How can Apple do this to us?
They've been doing it for years,
and all
you
these
idiots.
People have iMacs or MacBook Pros or Mac Pros where that's just – what it's called.
Yeah.
You just have the iMac or the MacBook Pro.
I'm fine
or the
with
MacBook
that.
Air.
Yeah,
so
but it is. I don't
see it any different. It's a pain in the ass to keep track of what model you have, but this is how Apple does their naming.
Oh,
so,
they've always done it.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be surprised. And I'm expecting when the next iPhone comes out, it will now just be called iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the problem is they got us comfortable to having that nice little number on the end that made it very easy when you were talking to someone. I'm going to hate this, you know, from a podcast perspective, when you have to talk about this stuff. I have the same problem with when you bring up MacBook. You have to kind of figure out, oh, that's the late 2020. And it was even worse way back when we had the code names. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I can't even remember. I'm trying to remember some of them for like Sawtooth. Wasn't that one of the key fours?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Back in the days when we had like Lombard and Pismo and Wall Street for our power books.
So, of course, it has Retina display, which is what we were all expecting. A5X processor. Now, it's a quad-core graphics chip, which means
like how they slipped that in there.
Yeah, it's quad core graphics. So,
and it's all integrated on a single chip.
Dual core CPU, quad core graphics.
Right.
Do we have any word on the RAM if it's a gig?
Not yet.
No. Okay. Got to wait for iFixit.
Yep.
Rip it apart.
EyeSight camera. They're calling the rear camera an EyeSight camera. Now they say that they've upgraded it to EyeSight quality, quote unquote, which means it's good for taking photos and doing video. So 5 megapixel stills, 1080p video, and the front.
That's no, sorry, the camera. Just for
The camera. They call it an EyeSight camera, but they changed the camera name on the computer lineup from EyeSight to FaceTime.
Right.
Well, no, it's it's much clearer now. So when you say FaceTime,
you're talking
for
about
anything now, that means a forward-facing point-at-you camera.
Right.
When you say EyeSight camera, now that means back-facing, you know, I'm going to shoot a photo with it camera.
Right, and that kind of makes sense because it's your EyeSight.
Well, like that's assuming that the iPhone camera during the next update gets called EyeSight as well. But then is it going to be EyeSight HD? Because the iPhone camera is already 8 megapixels, and the iPad camera will be 5 megapixels.
I think just like they've done with the naming on the devices themselves, I think it's the simplification will be EyeSight camera, FaceTime camera. That's it. Just like
iPhone, you're probably right.
Yeah.
iPod, Mac,
yeah, I like
or
it.
iMac.
Yeah. The front camera does not seem to have been changed.
I wouldn't have expected it to, right? It's because it's the same one that's in everything.
Well,
right?
don't the Macs have an HD FaceTime camera?
Okay, it's the same one that's in all of Apple's mobile devices.
Yes,
it is. Okay.
I should have been clearer.
And yes, and Michael, you are correct. The camera that's in Apple's computers, desktop and laptop computers, is higher resolution than the FaceTime camera that's in the mobile devices, which means I just answered my own question, and it supports exactly what you just said, Adam. They're not going to worry about anything with the technical specs. It's just the name,
right?
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, when you're talking about a mobile device, especially something that's going to be on a mobile network, and you're going to be doing video chat, you're going to want it lower resolution anyway. You know, especially with all the data caps coming on board.
True.
Yeah, I don't want a higher resolution one because it just means I have to push more pixels, which means I use more data, which means that AT&T tells me to bend over farther.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's a 4G LTE version now. It supports 4G LTE.
And did you know I got a 4G upgrade on my phone today?
I got the same upgrade on my phone. Yeah.
Really?
How about that?
When
I'm on the AT&T network, it's now telling me 4G instead of 3G.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So they did
up
actually
in the
do
menu
that.
Bar.
So with 5.1, they've changed it to say 4G.
They're marketing BS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a crazy upgrade. They just you update your software and boom.
Your chipset gets swapped out magically. No.
That's cool.
Oh, but only if it did.
Now it just goes, look, you could have 4G right here, right now, if you upgrade your device.
Uh-huh. Now, it looks
like... The problem is no consumer's going to know. There's going to be so many people that are going to be like, oh, I have a 4G phone. This is awesome.
Yeah, but does that matter?
Yes, it does. And here's why. Because people will see it and they'll go, I have a 4G phone now. That's so awesome. That's why it matters.
Yeah, but then they'll just feel better about themselves. What's wrong with that?
True.
Yeah, so people feel better about their phone connection. They'll think that this is a cool new thing, and that's okay. I mean, if people are suddenly expecting some kind of magic thing out of seeing 4G in the menu bar as opposed to 3G, well, then they might be disappointed. But I'm betting there are a lot of people that will see that, and they will think that they now have a better connection, and they will really believe they have a better connection and that they have faster data speeds.
Yeah.
HSDPA Plus or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. AT&T's been trying to say that that's 4G equivalent for like forever, right? Yeah. So I guess, well, I guess they won now.
And considering 4G doesn't have a true definition, it's just whatever people want it to be. Sure, it can be 4G.
Mm-hmm.
So will the next iPhone, instead of 4G, will it say LTE to distinguish 4G from LTE?
That's too many letters.
No. I don't. In other words, my iPhone will say 4G, but your iPhone 5 will say LTE in place of. Oh, you're saying just because the one extra letter?
Too many letters up there.
I bet it might, actually.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I just was out and about, and I'm like, oh, look at that, 4G. That's interesting.
Oh, I should do a speed test.
Yeah, I noticed
it's
that.
It's the same as yesterday.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, when I took
this
off.
This 4G network sucks.
Huh. Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry,
AT&T.
No. I was just going to say when I did my quick jaunt from my desk over to Starbucks to grab my chai and then get back here so we could record, I saw the 4G thing right away. And I thought, oh, well, that's awesome. So I went ahead and tweeted a picture of it. So that
I did the same thing.
You guys are nerds.
Yeah.
We are.
So yeah. Am I. Look at us.
This is why we don't get dates.
Uh-huh.
So 4G for real on the iPad, which I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of surprising.
I was not expecting that. And I know I've been saying over and over, not going to happen because that whole LTE rollout thing hasn't been happening wide scale.
But it doesn't, I mean, I guess it seems like it's not too big a deal because the biggest issue, of course, was why wouldn't you roll out a 4G LTE chipset in the iPad or the iPhone for that matter? And really the two reasons would be battery life and price. And clearly they managed to get the price under control. And apparently they also have battery life under control with that chipset in there. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's a good deal because it's now future proofed. I mean, exactly. You're not going to have to upgrade next year when the 4G network really is available. You'll just be able to jump onto it. So,
and looks like they've consolidated the models. So there's no AT&T Verizon distinction, right?
That is not true.
Okay, so why is it listing it that way?
You have to choose which one you want.
Checkout, yeah, it has that new really nice checkout system though, where it steps you through. It says, okay, you want black or white?
Right.
What size do you want? Or is it, they ask you color first?
They ask you color, then they ask you capacity, and then they ask if you want Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Or
3G. Oh yeah, you do have to choose the carrier.
3G, and then when you pick 3G, yeah, they say which carrier do you want?
Wah.
Which shows you just how completely fracked up the whole cell phone industry is, because the whole LTE thing is supposed to be universal. You don't have to worry about, do I have the AT&T or Verizon version?
And
no,
wait,
they still...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to be on the 3G for the next year. That's just the thing is, it's great for some people to have the 4G, but I mean, most people aren't going to even have access to the 4G network, the LTE networks until end of this year, if they're lucky, maybe early 2013, when we'll be getting a new iPad anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't have Siri, right? But it does have voice dictation.
I really hope they do a Siri update, software update.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's not like the processor can't handle it. It's not like there won't be enough memory RAM in the thing to handle it.
I think it's a philosophical thing.
I think it's well, you're right. Sorry, I'm going to agree with you because if you're going to say what I was just going to say.
Yeah. I mean, this is that Apple feels that it's not a thing that does Siri.
Because Apple's the company that gave us the Knowledge Navigator proof of concept video.
No, Steve didn't.
I think it's a user experience thing.
Oh, yeah?
Is my theory. Because it would make sense if you only had 3G or 4G iPads. I mean, Siri is really worthless if you don't have an always-on, everywhere connection. And an iPad, especially a Wi-Fi one, isn't guaranteed to always have that. So what's the experience if I have a Wi-Fi iPad and I'm out and about and I activate Siri? What's my experience? Pretty crappy.
Okay, that's a good point.
I think people are smart enough to know the difference. But yeah, very often tough, Apple is all about, I don't know, I'm conflicted about it because there's a bunch of things recently that Apple's done, in my opinion, that doesn't support that theory that we're about the user experience.
Like iTunes Match.
Yeah, exactly. I can point to a million things. But the point is, my theory, although it's obviously a weak one, is that that's why, is because Siri doesn't work well without an always-on connection. So
yeah,
maybe. But they put the voice dictation, and I'm assuming that's not going to work.
Yeah,
if I don't have a connection, because I'm still using Dragon. Yeah. But maybe they figure less people will use that, or it's not. It's kind of just in there, and they could maybe justify that. Whereas Siri's kind of front and center, and it's a showcase piece for them, so they don't want anything where someone could probably talk down about Siri at this point.
It could also be that they're going to monitor how much voice dictation is actually being done on iPads. Because they can, and then they'll decide whether or not they need to roll out Siri, or maybe they're waiting they get farther into the beta testing. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. So iLife has been updated. We have a new version of GarageBand. We have a new version of iMovie. The GarageBand looks interesting. They have a new thing called, what is it, Jam Session?
That looks awesome.
That looks pretty fun. I think, I guess the idea is you get your friends together, all your friends with iPads, because Lord knows I have tons of friends with iPads.
You don't?
No.
She's just about everybody I know has an iPad or is
Michael, getting... you're hanging out with losers.
Yeah, that might be the problem here. It might not. Yeah, I have the wrong friends.
They have Zooms.
Oh, I just died a little inside.
Okay, so
Playbooks.
Yeah, they have Playbooks. You get your friends together with your Playbooks and your iPads, and you open up GarageBand, and I guess there's a wireless connection that happens, I'm assuming over Wi-Fi, and so that you each pull out whatever instrument you want, and you play along with everybody else. And I guess the magic part, because you could just do that right now, but the magic, I think, is that it's all recorded simultaneously on all the iPads. Is that correct?
No, I think it's recorded on the iPad that initiates the jam session.
Okay, that makes sense.
The master iPad.
Yeah, so the master iPad does that because it's also synchronizing the beat for everyone. If you're in the wrong key, it's transposing so that everyone's in the correct key.
Well, that's a really easy jam sesh.
Yeah.
You can be an idiot and jam.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Cool.
As it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Now I think that, okay, so new iMovie, blah, blah, blah. I didn't really see a lot of interesting things in that unless you guys did. No.
Well, they brought the movie trailer thing in there, which is fun for a lot of people.
That's cool.
I mean, out of the box, just messing around, it's fun to play with that stuff. So
sure,
it wears off quickly.
Yeah,
but it makes good demo. That's Apple always has the things that make good demo.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that my favorite announcement of today is iPhoto for iOS because that looks awesome, and I think it's one of those things that you really it's hard to really articulate why it's super awesome.
You have to get a hold of it and start playing with it.
You have to see it. I mean, obviously you could play with it, but you know, watch the video.
I think it requires somebody just pointed out, and correct me if I'm wrong, it requires iPad 2 or better, right?
I think so, yeah. So it has this thing called smart browsing, which, for example, maybe you go out and you take a bunch of shots of things, and if you're like me, you might take 3 or 4 shots of one thing that you're trying to capture, and so you have a couple slightly different versions, and you want to compare those different versions to pick the one that you like best. And you can do something that's pretty good at that on iPhoto on your Mac, but man, when you see it happening on an iPad, the way you do it is just so intuitive. You like double tap on the ones that you want to compare. No, you double tap on one of the ones that you want to compare, and then it magically knows.
Finds similar ones.
It finds the similar ones and throws all of those up to you in a grid, and then you can full screen each one and swipe through. And when you find one, you're like, eh, this isn't good. You swipe down and it goes away out of that selection, and then you're down to like three, and then you go back and forth and pull out a couple more, and then, you know, you find the one that you like the best and flag that, and then you have the best one that you of those photos. And I mean, that's one really cool thing. They have a really neat photo browser. They have amazing editing tools, effects.
The loop is kind of cool.
Is there a loop in there?
Like that? Yeah. So you take two fingers and hold them on this photo for a second or two, and then the loop comes up. A little magnifier comes up.
Cool.
And then you can twist inside the magnifier, like the. If you ever play with the rotator, which is one of those features that's for the voiceover technology or the assisted technologies, where you take two fingers and imagine turning a dial. Mm-hmm. So you kind of turn the loop and you can crank up or crank down the
that's
magnification.
Cool. That's neat.
Yeah.
They have a thing called journals, which is a neat way to experience events that you already have. So you can, I guess you go to an event, tap on the create a journal button, and then it creates a nice little photo journal of whatever that event was. Taking it kind of magically takes certain photos and makes them bigger and other ones smaller. And then you can go in there and you can move them around and resize and maybe put the ones that you want as bigger photos.
It has all kinds of cool little widgets.
Yeah, you can add a calendar, like notes. You can so a couple of the cool things. You can add a map. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when you drop a map down in there, it will, because of geolocation data, it will figure out where the photos of the surrounding the map were taken and put a little pin down there on the map.
Yep.
Or
you can add a weather thing, and it will use the data to try and figure out what the weather was.
Yeah. On that day that it was taken.
Correct.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Based on location, based on date, it goes through, is it AccuWeather, the system they use? I forget which weather service they use, but one of those. Calendar, same kind of thing. You can drop a little calendar widget on there. So you build like a little journal of the photos that are in that event.
Oh yeah. It's really cool. I like that.
And the thing about it too is that goes, and then you can share it through iCloud, which I found very interesting. So it's almost feeling like this is a replacement for the lost photo galleries.
Yeah.
That are coming out of iWeb.
Yep. Which I think might even be a better option, because this makes it a little bit easier for you to not make so here's my boring gallery of 80 photos that I took, and more condensed down and distilled to exactly what you want to show to people, just the best parts of the event.
Yeah, and it still has, for the photos that are on that page, when you tap them after you publish them to your iCloud, it gives you a link, and you can go there, and when you tap them, you still can do the whole slideshow thing and zoom in and flip through them. And the UI that's online almost looks like exactly like the UI that you experience in the iPhoto app on the iPad, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
You also got some cool sharing options. Like you mentioned, you can do that to iCloud. You can send it off to email, Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, I think.
Right.
There's beaming. So you can beam photos between iOS devices. Unfortunately, you know, one of the things that I've really wanted on my iPad is the ability to, you know, how you can share iPhoto libraries among different computers with iPhoto as you can with iTunes. Why can't we do that with iPhoto at this point? Why can't we just pull up our shared iPhoto libraries in the Photos application, or even in the iPhoto application at this point? That would be
good.
Great
question.
Because it's so irritating to have to, all right, now if I want to get these photos on my iPad, all these photos that I might want to show to people, I have to actually put together a gallery, a little photo album of what I want on my iPad, and always have that on there. And I barely ever have the photos that I want to show to somebody on my iPad. And it just seems like it takes too much time to worry about what I might want on there and what I wouldn't want on there. I would like to see that. Did you guys also see that they're not using Google Maps in the iPhoto app on the iPad?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, they're using something else.
I'm wondering, one of those mapping companies that they bought?
They start
to roll their own thing?
That's the suspicion.
Yeah, interesting. I did not notice that.
Yeah.
Huh. I totally missed that.
Yep, they have, what are the companies? They have PlaySpace. That was one of
PlaySpace,
the...
PlaySpace, Poly9, and C3. One other one.
C3.
But don't those companies just essentially overlay on top of other map systems like Google Maps?
What do you mean? The tiles?
No.
Or?
No, like what they do is they take...
One of the companies was that.
Okay. Now, I can't remember which one that was.
That was the last one that they acquired. Has a technology to overlay all kinds of additional information based on geolocation on top of mapping data. But I believe that Poly9 had their own kind of cool, like 3D kind of mapping technology.
Okay.
And PlaySpace the one that was truly doing kind of like what Google is doing? Can't remember. Between the three of them, if Apple combines the three technologies from those companies together, there's going to be just incredible mapping technology in iOS, in OS X.
Yeah.
Like those three technologies coming together in one cool interface, the way Apple can do interfaces, will be amazing.
Right. So what do you think of the image enhancement tools? You know, being able to go in and adjust colors and then having the filters so that you can like change images to black and white and fix red eye.
Those look crazy cool. I mean, they've taken so much complexity. They did what Apple does best, which is taking all these complex features and making them really crazy easy for someone to use and figure out.
I haven't played with it too much, but it feels like they may have borrowed a little bit from Nick and from Snapseed.
Maybe a little bit. But based on the limited amount of time I've had to play with this, Adobe really should have thought long and hard about the way they were going to do Photoshop Touch.
Yeah, because seeing this, they kind of screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the middle of working on a Photoshop Touch review for Mac Observer. And my review is basically going to be, you know, it's kind of sluggish. There's a lot of weird interface issues. But if you need the basic Photoshop stuff on your iPad, here you go.
Well, you know why that is, though, because I'm almost positive that Adobe built Photoshop for the iPad as an Air app.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did.
It feels exactly like an Adobe Air app.
Yeah, it's exactly... That has to be what it is. And
it's running an emulation, which is why it's sluggy and slow. Yep. Yeah. And
yeah, if my iPad had fans in it, they would kick on full blast as soon as I launch Photoshop Touch.
I think we talked about this in your review last week.
Yeah, so, you know, the stuff that I'm seeing in iPhoto on the iPad... All right, I can't delete Photoshop Touch off of my iPad because I need to be able to cut backgrounds out of images and work with layers. But boy, I can sure see me doing all of the heavy duty work with an image in iPhoto. And then if I need to apply other effects where I'm cutting out backgrounds and merging layers and stuff, then I'll take that over into Photoshop Touch. But after iPhoto came out today, I'm going to be really hard pressed to use Photoshop Touch as my main image editor on my iPad.
Yep. Well, you know what, guys? Guess what?
You got a dip?
I got a bail.
All right. That's all
as
right.
As much fun as I'm having, I got to go talk to the user group about all this stuff. Actually, we're doing iCloud, which my head hurts now.
No, you're not.
It's going to be a migraine by the end of this evening.
You're not doing iCloud tonight. Trust me.
Yeah. We'll see. yeah. Anyway,
all right.
It was fun. It was real. Excited. I did order my, just for the record, in case people ask, I did get my iPad ordered, and I ordered a 64 Wi-Fi.
Cool.
And that's exactly what I ordered, 64 Wi-Fi.
I forgot to mention, they're also selling the iPad 2 as well for a discounted price, $100 less.
Yeah, the 16 gig model. That's the one they're keeping around.
Yep.
Hey,
which is great.
One other thing. So I just out of curiosity, I had a 64 3G iPad 1 and a 32 Wi-Fi iPad 1. I went on Gazelle, and full disclosure, they're a sponsor of the MacCast, but I went on Gazelle, and I'm getting like $325, I think, for those two things.
Each or combined?
No, total.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally sell them elsewhere and probably make more, but I don't have to deal with the hassle. I went on there, filled it out, and in 5 minutes, I had a shipping label that was ready to go, and I'm going to get cash.
That's
so
fantastic.
That's what they do and do well. So I don't know. I was surprised for iPad 1s at this point with, you know, the new iPad on the horizon. I didn't think they'd be worth hardly anything, but I guess they still are.
Cool. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All righty.
Later,
guys.
Have fun tonight.
Thanks. Bye.
So we also have iOS 5.1.
Does it seem really quiet now that Adam's gone?
It's really quiet. He likes to talk a lot. Which is good, because that means I can space out a little bit while that's going on. And
oh, right. So now the pressure's on me to talk a lot.
Yeah, because I'm not going to do it. iOS 5.1, which is the version of iOS we've been waiting on for, it seems like months now, right?
It sure feels that way.
There's certainly been rumors and beta, certainly beta versions out there for developers for quite a long time. The features that we've discussed previously seem to all be in there. The always available camera shortcut, which I have not seen in action. Have you updated yet?
I updated, but I haven't had a chance to play with the new cam. Yep, it's exactly the camera shortcut.
So describe
it. That's a load of crap. It is absolutely a load of crap. Okay, so if you tap it, what it does is it bounces the screen up just enough for you to see the camera controls underneath, and then the screen drops back down.
To let you know that you can throw that up.
Yeah, so the only way to do it now, you have to flick on the screen.
How much of a flick? How much do you have to push that?
It was a substantial flick.
Like halfway up the screen, a third of the way up?
Let's try again. I'm doing this slowly just to see how far up I have to go. I'm already halfway up the screen.
Yeah. And you let go and it's, what's going on?
And it just drops back down.
Maybe you just have to give it enough.
You have to go, push. You have to go 3/4 up the screen before it releases.
Oh, wow.
And take you to the camera.
I'm not sure I like that. I guess we'll have to see.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. You can delete photos from PhotoStream, as we initially heard when iOS 5.1 beta came out, which is great.
Yes.
Genius Mixes and Genius Playlists are now being synced for iTunes Match users. And I'm really hoping that there are some iTunes Match tweaks and bug fixes and stuff like that. Although it does seem like my biggest complaint with iTunes Match has been the album art not syncing, especially when I sync stuff to my iPhone and then turn on iTunes Match. It seems like the album art that was once there just decides to disappear, and then you have to go back and forward in your now playing screen to get your album art to show up, even though it's ostensibly already on your phone.
Now, I'm assuming that the whole album art thing is working better now, because the iPhoto update that came out for the Mac today specifically addresses that.
iPhoto?
Excuse me, iTunes.
Okay.
There are so many damn updates that came out today. I can't keep track of
it. It addresses what now?
The iTunes Match album art issue.
Oh, interesting.
So that's in iTunes 10.6. So since it's there, it would make sense to me that issue has also been addressed with iOS 5.1.
Well, I haven't updated iOS 5.1, and it seems like it was fixed maybe like a week ago. I'm guessing maybe it's more of a server-side thing. I'm not sure, but...
Could be.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it works a little bit better, because it gets chunky.
Well, hopefully it'll be better. And since I'm not using iTunes Match yet, because I have not had a compelling reason to do so, I can't tell you what really is working better or not. Although with the changes that have been made with iTunes 10.6 and now with iOS 5.1, maybe it's time for me to play with it.
Well, okay. So, I mean, the biggest annoyance with iTunes Match is really the fact that you can't manually add music from your computer. Even if you sync with a computer and you sync with iTunes and you do all your apps that way and everything else, if you turn on iTunes Match, there's no way for you to manually add some songs to your phone. And the crappy thing about that is that means you have to go and you have to download whatever music you want manually. So, and even worse is if you have a playlist, for example, that you use to sync music to your phone, maybe you have a playlist that fits enough music on there. You have to scroll to the very, very, very bottom of that playlist in order to download those songs, because the download button is at the bottom of the list. So if you want to download all, you have to go to the bottom of the list. So there's a lot of scrolling, and then after that, it takes a long, long time to download those songs.
That sucks.
Yeah, it totally sucks.
And it doesn't support smart playlists. Still,
no,
right?
It does. It's smart. It's supported smart playlists.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
see, there's too much. I can't keep up with everything.
Yeah. It didn't support Genius playlists, and now it does. And that's good because I have like a new.
Oh, that's right. Genius playlists. But you'd think I'd been drinking all day. I really haven't.
Just recently.
Yeah, I did have to break out the Maker's Mark to get my voice back for the show.
Yeah.
But I haven't drunk enough yet. We'll just leave it at that.
You haven't had enough yet. What else do we have here? Battery life improvements.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how much of an improvement there is.
Yeah.
Because on my iPhone, even still with the changes that have been made and deciding not to use the Reminders app at all, my battery life still is not nearly what it should be. So now that I have iOS 5.1 installed, we'll see how everything holds up. Do I sound like I'm not exactly believing that my battery life's going to be better?
I mean, you can't be blamed for that.
Yeah, because I'm not believing it. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. And then I guess, so one of the things, they have a redesigned camera app for the iPad. They moved the shutter button to the right-hand side so you can grab it with your thumb in the way that you would naturally hold it, which is nice. I'm glad they did that.
Okay, now here's the funny thing about that. I used the camera app only when I was doing my iPad 2 review. I don't even know where I stuck the app. So I just did a spotlight search on my iPad to find the camera app. And, well.
Finding it?
Yeah, I found it. But, you know, okay. I will wait to pass judgment on the camera app and what it can do until I get my new iPad, because the camera on the iPad 2 is complete crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought everything up and went to look at the app, and all I could do was focus on how crappy the image was that I was seeing on my screen. So, yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Audio for TV programs and films on iPad have been optimized to sound louder and clearer, which is always a good thing. It's one of the most annoying things to have a video that you're listening to and just, why is it so quiet? You can't turn it up any louder. Why is it so quiet? So that's cool. And right. Lastly, I guess some people have been having issues with audio dropping on outgoing calls. So that's been fixed as well. And I'm sure there are a number of other little tweaky things. I won't be updating for a while anyway because I jailbreak. And it'll be interesting to see how easy it is for them to update the jailbreak for 5.1.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if people tomorrow, meaning Thursday, the day after all the announcements, have any luck downloading iOS 5.1 through iTunes. Because today, you just pretty much could not do it. I had to update my iPhone and iPad through the over-the-air update feature, which worked great, although at one point it just stalled for long enough that I got really, really worried.
Hmm.
And then it finished and it was fine. But there was just no way to download the update through iTunes. And I'm assuming that's because everyone on the planet, probably quite literally, was trying to download iOS 5.1. Everyone except you, that is.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, unless there's anything else, is there anything else that you remember from your 12-hour day of typing?
Oh, God. Okay. So, we had
the resolutionary new iPad.
Oh, iCloud. Movies. Movie storage on iCloud now.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
You mean like iCloud Match or just like whatever, anything you purchased in iCloud that's up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the movies that you purchased from the iTunes store available through iCloud now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We talked about that.
Okay.
I think looks like there are a bunch of updates. There's a GarageBand update, iPhone.
There were tons of Apple app updates that added Retina display support. So there was that.
Does iPhoto... See, I'm on iPhoto 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Snow Leopard. Can I get to my photo stream? Because it's talking about photo stream in this.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely can.
Well, I'm crazy.
Yeah, if you have iPhoto 11, and the iPhoto update that came out today, 9.2.2, I believe, that adds in the ability to delete photos from photo stream on your Mac.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Accounts. No, I don't see it. Well, whatever. I can play with it later. So, with that, do you have a pick this week, or do you want to skip that?
No, I'll give you a pick this week.
All right.
And actually, my pick's going to be iPhoto on the iPad.
And it's only $5.
$5.
How can it be so cheap? I think that's stupid cheap.
It's because Apple is in the business of making their products very, very enticing.
Yeah, that's very.
And the way you make your hardware very enticing is by offering really good software at a stupid cheap price.
Yeah.
And $5 for iPhoto on the iPad, and you pay for it there, and it works on your iPhone and on your newer iPod Touch as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it just, from the limited amount of playing I've been able to do so far, the photo management, the ability to group images the way you can, more like you can on your Mac, the image editing features, the sharing features, I'm already trying to figure out how long it's going to be before I take the Photos app off of my main home screen and put the iPhoto app there instead.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that it's only going to be a couple days probably from now when I have stopped using the Photos app completely. It's very cool.
Cool. All right. So talking about iTunes Match, it's a good time to talk about this pick, which I was kind of surprised that I started using it. It's Spotify. And... I turned off iTunes Match for a little while on my iPhone, actually, because not only was it kind of dumb and messed with my album artwork and took a long time to start streaming music over 3G or Wi-Fi, it just irritated me. And so I signed up for a free trial of Spotify and kind of forgot to stop it before it started charging me the $10 or whatever. And thankfully, I'm totally digging it. Because if you don't know what Spotify is, it's a way to, you can pretty much look up almost any music you want and stream it immediately. So anything from like Daft Punk to Ravi Shankar, you can find on Spotify and you can stream it instantly.
They do have a really nice collection of music in their library.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, they have like sitar music on there. So, I mean, and the streaming is really good. It's really fast. They do a great job at pushing that out to you like almost instantly. Unfortunately, the app sucks. The app is crap. I don't like it. It's not such crap that I can't use it and get music that I want, but there are quite a few things that I really hate about it. But I mean, in spite of that, and knowing me and my my eccentricities and biases toward applications and what the trade-off between usefulness and suckiness is, I'm still going to say it's totally worth getting.
It is really cool.
Yeah. Do you have Spotify?
I haven't renewed my paid account.
Okay.
Simply because I haven't been listening to music in that way enough recently to justify upping my account. But I have used it just like I used Pandora for a long time. And I think it's really cool. I really like it.
Yeah, and it's really great for me, too, because I've been spending a lot of time working at my job at the paper company with other people who might not necessarily have a taste in music that is easily accessible or can be catered to by my selection in my iPod app. So maybe someone will say, hey, I want to listen to this. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll totally listen to that. And we'll search for the artist and boom, we'll start playing it right then. And then everybody's happy. So it's great.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, that. And it's also really good for discovering music too. And I've done that a lot with this. So I do recommend it. It's really cool. And of course, there's a Mac application too, which is a lot better than the iPhone, or there's no iPad native application, but
which is weird, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good to have an iPad application, but either way, I think it's great. So check it out, Spotify.com. It's $10 a month, and I think there's a free trial for people who start new. So free month worth of just thinking to yourself, I want to listen to this, and searching for it, and then ta-da, you're listening to it. And I've heard a lot of really cool stuff that it's hard to come by other ways. So check it out. And with that, you can find all of our iPhone picks, the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That's the email address. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. And he's at jgamet on Twitter. And you can also find his Zazzle store at zazzle.com/jgamet. And you can find a bunch of cool stuff by him, as well as the We Have Communicators mug.
Which is an awesome mug.
It's true.
And I'm not saying that just because it has all of our faces on it.
Because it has all of our mugs on it?
Right. I really like how it turned out.
Yeah, it turned out really good. You can get it in a bunch of different styles, too.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. Adam Christensen, of course, is at the MattCast, MattCast.com. He's at MattCast on Twitter, and the member version of his show is member.mattcast.com. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/... It's at Michael Johnston. You guys know how to get to Twitter. At Lil Reviews is where I review various things, including like food and beer and all that other stuff, movies and stuff that I'll watch. So check that out as well. And with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to.
carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? They have to get them.